This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is Hemet.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Give us stars.
I think you need to be more clear. You don't give us stars on the Patreon. You gave us
iTunes reviews.
You give us money on Patreon if you'd like to support what we do here. And you can get bonuses. And the more you donate, the more likely we are to do cool shit.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, I just feel like your heart wasn't in it this time. In addition to that, you can go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to it. Those things help other listeners find our podcast.
That was much better.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad one of us is a fucking professional.
Nicely
around here.
Nicely done.
Happy New Year, Hemet.
Hey, Happy New Year.
What did you do on New Year's Eve?
I sat at home. Mm-hmm. Babies were asleep. Mm-hmm. It was glorious. Diet cherry Pepsi.
Look out. After midnight? You're
look at me.
Crazy.
Yeah, wild man.
I had two friends over, and I made some appetizers.
You have two friends?
Well, they're married, so they come as a set. One of them went to high school with me, and then his husband just sort of came along with the ride.
Stop hogging them all.
We all made it to midnight 15, and then they had to go to sleep. The first thing I did this year was watch the first half of Batman Forever, which is one of my favorite childhood movies. So any resolutions, Hemet? Are you a resolution boy?
No, I don't have time for this shit.
God, you know, I feel like our banter
is... I just live my life.
I feel like our banter is really falling off.
You're asking someone who doesn't do stuff.
Oh, hello, Dottie.
Hello, Dottie. Dottie's here, too. Let's start with the thing that... Let's start with the Congress. So,
yes,
new
all
Congress.
I would do is talk about Congress.
I know. And I have a couple other smaller stories, but this is the big one. Let me talk about the religious demographics of Congress, because this, to me anyway, is the bigger story, at least in terms of the religion politics world. So Pew Research Center, they always release a survey every 2 years, like on the nose, the day the new Congress is sworn in. Uh-huh. And they kind of say, all right, here's the religious makeup of the new Congress. And every time they send this out, it's like, how many atheists are there?
None.
I mean, we would have known about it already, but none. But now it's like, oh, Jared Huffman. We've talked about this guy, representative from California. Mm-hmm. He said he's a humanist. He said he doesn't believe in God. He said this. Uh-huh. Like, he hasn't backed off of that.
Right.
So I'm like, well, at least when they come out with the survey this year, there will be one openly, whatever you want to call it, humanist, atheist, whatever. And my favorite line, and by favorite I mean, oh my God, it pissed me off, from the Pew Research Center report was, there are no atheists in Congress. Uh-huh. This is what they summarized. And they pointed out, Huffman has said this other stuff, but Jared Huffman, quote, declined to state his religious identity in the CQ roll call questionnaire used to collect data for this report. Therefore, he was listed as refused to answer.
Oh, instead of non-religious.
Non-religious. So, technically speaking, there are zero open atheists in the new Congress. Had Huffman answered the damn question, dude, you have one job. Congress is shut down. What else are you doing? Had he answered the question, there would have been one kind of open atheist.
The thing that sucks is that, like, first of all, I think it's kind of a bogus thing to ask people what their religion is.
I'll get to that.
And second of all, like, if there were other atheists, it wouldn't matter. It's something of a spotlight effect that, like, what did you say?
So, as it turns out, you know, when they do these surveys, they say, for example, Christians of any stripe make up 71% of U.S. adults, and they make up 88%. Of Congress, 88.2% of Congress. Mm-hmm. Christians are overrepresented in Congress, right? When it comes to, let's say, Muslims, they represent 1% of the American population, 0.6% of Congress.
Muslims are only 1%?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jews are 2% of the U.S. population, 6.4% of Congress, because there are 34 Jewish people in Congress. Here's what this boils down to for atheists. We represent, or at least the nuns, so all the other people.
N.
Yeah. We are 23% of the U.S. population. We are 0.2% of Congress.
Whoops.
And that's literally one person, and that's Senator Kyrsten Sinema,
yes,
the Democrat from Arizona. So Huffman, not included in that mix because he didn't answer the damn question.
Right.
He is one of the 18 people who either said, who either didn't answer the question or said, I'm not answering the question. So 18 people said, I'm not answering the question.
Uh-huh.
Not a single one of those 18 is Republican. Every Republican answered the question because they know their base.
Yeah, they know their job here.
And so the 18 things. So let's talk about a few things. First of all, Sinema. Let's get her out of the way. Sinema, she is listed as unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm.
That is her technical religious label. But I do want to point this out because I think it's relevant. Before you give her too much credit, and I want to praise her in just a second, but before we give her too much credit, in 2012, when she was first elected to the House, she had done a lot of work in Arizona for, like, non-religious people. She had worked with their organizations. I think she came to the opening of the Secular Coalition for Arizona before 2012. And then when she was running for the House, it's like, oh, right, I don't want to be affiliated with that group.
Yeah.
And so she kind of just said, I ain't talking about religion. I don't want to answer questions about religion. And when I literally sent an email to her campaign spokesperson at the time, like, is she an atheist or what? Like, I don't care if you make a big deal of it, but is she? This is the quotation we got. Kyrsten believes the terms non-theist, atheist, or non-believer are not befitting of her life's work or personal character. Like, oh, cool. we're not good enough for you?
Cool.
You could have said, we don't want to answer it. No,
right.
No. It's like you're beneath us. So not okay.
I mean, do you think that's what she meant? Or do you think she means like none of those accurately define who she is and therefore she doesn't want to operate within those labels?
If that's the case, just tell me I don't like labels. I am not personally like Bernie Sanders said, you know, I'm not a particularly religious person, but I do believe there's stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's a, you know, some higher power. He doesn't say God, whatever. He says some crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly a tally mark for the atheists.
Right.
But whatever, I'm fine with that. Just tell me, you know, I'm not really personally religious, but I don't really have a label.
Mm-hmm.
I don't assign myself a label. If you ask me, I'll say, I don't think it should be part of politics.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to answer the question. I would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's also different than Huffman, who's like, I get lost in the mail, the survey. But Sinema's like, no, it's beneath me, according to her spokesperson. Anyway, this hasn't changed in 6 years.
Uh-huh.
I still like, for the most part, her politics.
Mm-hmm.
She's too conservative for me as a Democrat. As a Democrat, she's too conservative. But, like, whatever. I got bigger battles, right?
Right.
So, anyway, she is the only unaffiliated person. When she was sworn in to the Senate, looking fabulous, by the way, if you look at the pictures.
Oh, my God. Like, she looked great.
Elle
I
Woods,
literally have it
legally
down.
Blonde, sort of,
like,
with a bow.
Sleeveless. It's like, she had a faux fur. She,
yes,
like, took off the wrap, sleeveless, with her law book. And, God, Mike Pence was just melting into a puddle.
So Mike Pence is the one who does the Senate. Who does the Senate
Okay,
oaths.
imagine you're a newly elected, like, a freshman representative.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best moment of your life. And you have to get fucking sworn in by Mike Pence, who actively hates you for no specific reason.
In the House, it would have been Paul Ryan or Nancy Pelosi. And if you're on the other side, those are not pleasant either. And remember a few years ago when Biden was doing the swearing-ins, you got all those photo ops where he's, like, very close with all the ladies who come to take
Biden,
the picture.
Oh, Biden, fix that shit.
It's always one of these weird things. And by the way, Sinema was actually took the oath of office earlier in the day with a group of senators in the Senate itself. They, like, bundled them up in groups of four, administer the oath. And then the Mike Pence thing is just a photo op, really. But she did the thing with Mike Pence. Like you mentioned, she had in her hand a law book.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best description I have heard.
Super
I was trying
great.
To, I swear, I zoomed into the book and I'm like, I don't know what book this is. And no one's saying what book this is. But it's a, quote, law book, which contains the constitutions of the U.S. and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thick book. So there's more to it than that. But whatever, she took her oath on that. There was a part of the oath where, at the end of it, Mike Pence says, "So help me God." And she said, "Yes," or "I do," or something like that. She, I think that's a standard. Yes. That's not weird, but she also did not say, "I'm not saying that." Whatever. Again, little things. I don't really care about that one. But okay, she swore an oath on the law book.
Did we mention she's the first openly bisexual woman?
She is also, yes, the first openly bisexual.
Yeah, her politics aren't like the dream, but she's a really fucking cool person.
She's a centrist Democrat, as far as it goes. Fine, whatever. More Democrats. Right. And I think we wanted to bring this up, too. That was one example of someone not using the Bible to swear the oath of office, whether they were in the House or the Senate. Other people, I mean, there were Qurans people used, because there's a few Muslims in Congress, or a couple of them that are new. People used Thomas Jefferson's Bible, which doesn't have any of the supernatural stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, when my husband...
I think Obama did that, too, if I memory serves.
Well, Obama had, like, a stack of Bibles.
I'm sure he
did. If I remember
right. Which
I didn't know that was, like, a thing. Like, he had, like, a Lincoln Bible.
Well, you
got to
have your super Jesus powers when you're president.
When the last time I was in D.C., which was for the Reason Rally, which is where you and I met for the first time.
Yeah.
My husband and I... Well, my then boyfriend and I, we had driven, I'm sure I've told the story, but I picked him up from work on a Friday. Uh-huh. We drove from Chicago to DC overnight, got there at about 7 a.m., dropped my car off at a friend's place, went straight to the Reason Rally, spent all day at the Reason Rally, hung out with some people, and then spent the night, got up the next day, did 2 hours of touristy shit, and drove home. Like, we drove 12 hours on each. It was a lot. But when we were there, we went to the Smithsonian, and they had the Jefferson Bible, like the original one.
Fun.
And that was really cool to see. Because if you don't know, Thomas Jefferson took a physical Bible and, like, with a razor blade, cut out the lines of stuff that he thought was supernatural. And his thinking was, I think Jesus was a really important teacher and had really important moral lessons to teach us. But, like, this magic bullshit, like, miss me with that. I'm not here for it.
Yeah.
So he just, like, literally just cut shit out. It's just such a cool thing to do.
And so people swore an oath on that. Yeah. So, man.
Maybe that's what I would do.
There were a lot of options for people who didn't want to use a traditional Bible, though, which is...
you don't have to use anything, right?
It's very... And if you remember this... someone had to remind me of this, but last year, like literally a year ago, when the whole Roy Moore situation was happening in Alabama and before Doug Jones won his race, remember on CNN, Roy Moore's old spokesperson, his name is Ted Crockett, he went on, and I think it was Jake Tapper, and he's like, everyone has to swear an oath on the Bible. And
it's
whoever
the
host was is like, No, you don't. You could choose what book to swear an oath on.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's the Bible. No, a lot of people choose the Bible, but you don't have to do the Bible. And the guy just went blank and stared at the screen with the jaw dropped.
That feels like 25 years ago.
Yeah, that happened in, like, December.
I actually, just in my time hop, it just came up
December 2017.
Last January when he was sworn in, when Doug Jones was sworn in, his son was there, I think, holding the Bible or just, like, standing next to his dad, and his son is gay, and is just fucking staring daggers at Mike Pence.
I remember
it's
that.
Such an incredible picture. You can see the flames shooting out of his eyes.
But yeah, so like all these people took all these different oaths. Okay, other things about the new Congress.
Yep.
Another Congress member that we haven't talked about, Jamie Raskin. He's a House member from Maryland who was elected in 2016. Mm-hmm. He is another person who has had a history of saying a lot of things that lead you to believe he doesn't believe in God.
Uh-huh.
And then he dropped
it. With us.
And then he dropped it when he was running for the House, where like people were saying, oh, look, there's a humanist. With the H, like running, capital H, like running for Congress.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't call myself a humanist. Like,
interesting.
Dude, what do you call yourself? I'm Jewish.
Well.
Okay, I know there are people. Barney Frank was one where after he left office and he had even made jokes about how he was an atheist, he later wrote in his book, he doesn't like the word atheist and he never used it because he worried that even though he grew up Jewish, he didn't want people to think that he was abandoning his tribe, in a way.
Sure.
So he always used it so no one would consider him anti-Semitic, because he wasn't. Raskin said in 2017, he's 100% Jewish, emphatically Jewish. I have never called myself an atheist, which is all fine and good, but that doesn't mean you believe in God.
I feel like secular Jew is a pretty common label.
Yes,
so
but
I think it's
under
a little...
the record, on the record, he's Jewish.
No, but right? I'm saying, I just think it's really disingenuous to be like, well, if I say I'm an atheist, then I'm abandoning my people. Like,
yeah.
I feel like a self-described secular Jew is an extremely common...
For us, I think you're right. That is pretty common.
I do live in
but
a
if
tiny
you're
world.
Like, oh, you grew up Jewish, but now you're calling yourself an atheist, mm-hmm. I see how it is.
I
Whatever.
See. Yeah.
So anyway, he's not on the list.
I still can't believe Muslims are only
1%
of the population. That kind of rocked my world a little bit just now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then what else we got? Okay. So 2 years ago, we did not have this, so we can talk about this now. There was now a Congressional Free Thought Caucus.
Yes.
Right? In the House. In the Congressional Free Thought Caucus, there are 10 members right now. I don't know how many there will be mm-hmm. with this new Congress, but before the elections, there were 10.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 10, only 3 of them are on the list of non-religious, like unaffiliated, don't know, refused, whatever list. Jared Huffman, because mm-hmm. his thing got lost in the mail. Mark Pocan, who is a House member from Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and Pramila Jayapal from Washington, who is a really progressive House member. Everyone else, like on the Free Thought Caucus, there's like 2 Jews, 2 Catholics, 1 Buddhist. Mm. Guess where the Buddhist is from? This I had to look this one up because I'm like, I don't believe this.
Where is the Buddhist from? I'm going to take a swing and say Montana.
No.
Oh.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
His name is Hank.
I'm going to stick with Montana. I don't know what you want from me.
Hank Johnson of Georgia.
Georgia?
I know if you know the guy, then you know he's Buddhist, but uh-huh. his name usually doesn't come up in my line daily stuff. But yeah, Hank Johnson of Georgia. He's a Buddhist. He's also on the Free Thought Caucus. Another thing, the 18 members who said, I don't know, I'm not answering this question about my religion. Just a brief rundown. Huffman from California,
uh-huh.
Katie Hill, newly elected, California,
uh-huh.
Sean Casten, Illinois,
Woo!
Right next to us,
Ooh-ooh.
Bill Foster, my representative
Mine
from
too.
Illinois, yep, Charisse Davids from Kansas, Jared Golden of Maine, Tom Malinowski, New Jersey, Antonio Delgado, New York, Suzanne Bonamici, Oregon, Earl Blumenauer, Oregon, Chrissy Houlihan, Pennsylvania, she's new, Delgado, Malinowski, Davids, Golden, they're all new, Jennifer Wexton, Virginia, she's new, Jayapal Pocan, we mentioned. Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado. He didn't answer the question. Tammy Duckworth, senator from
Ooh.
Illinois, didn't answer the question or said, I'm not answering it. Tina Smith from Minnesota, who took over Al Franken's seat.
Oh, yeah.
Is not listed. And Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, which means, by the way, Illinois wins that battle there.
Yeah,
so
suckers.
Way to represent.
That's a really impressive
18
scattering.
People. Yeah,
it's
all over
like
the place.
It's all from like the Northeast
yeah.
or in California.
All over.
It's not coastal elitists.
That is right. And all of them are Democrats.
Well,
not a
okay,
single
that's
Republican.
The literally surprising
One
thing.
Surprising thing, last time we did this, or last time the list came out, Representative Judy Chu of California was on the list.
Uh-huh.
Now she's not.
Really?
She is now listed as a Unitarian Universalist, which... There is a lot of overlap, but she now lists herself as a UU member.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, and Tina Smith is a new addition, even though she wasn't just elected.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing I wanted to bring up is that there are, if you look at the total spread of all the people who are there, there are actually fewer Protestants and fewer Christians overall in this Congress than ever. Before.
I mean, that tracks because...
At least as long as Pew has been taking these surveys for
I
a long
mean,
time.
Well, that totally since, makes sense because yeah. we've had such a big uptick in minority religions and Christianity and Protestant, like that was such the overwhelming majority. Like that's the only place to draw numbers from.
Right, right. That's true. Where else are these people going to come from?
Right.
They're replacing a Christian probably. Fewer Catholics by 5. Fewer Mormons, 3. There
How many
are...
Mormons are there?
More than a handful. I mean...
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Are we talking Congress?
How many Mormons are
Congress?
There now? In Congress
in
overall?
Congress.
There are
well, how many?
10 Mormons. There are 163 Catholics. Uh-huh. There are 293 Protestants, uh-huh. 34 Jews, 2 Buddhists, 3 Muslims, 3 Hindus, 2 Unitarian Universalists, 1 Kristen Hirson Cinema, and 18 people whose checks got lost in the mail and they didn't answer the question.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And by the way, 0 Christian Scientists, which I just, they listed that and said, there are none of you.
Any Scientologists?
None. Not listed. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
No Quakers, no Anabaptists, no Pietists.
What?
I'm not familiar with that.
I don't know those. What's an Anabaptist?
Oh, God. Ask me I know when it's I'm taking AP Euro.
It's something about you don't get baptized until you're an adult. I feel like that's what the Anabaptist means.
Good, I hope
that's right. Come on.
At Jessica Anabaptist.
Again, at Jessica is definitely my Twitter handle. Please. Please come in.
There are actually 16 more Christians overall who don't use a specific label. They're just, I'm Christian mm-hmm. of some nature mm-hmm. or something. But overall, if you look at everyone who is technically a Christian, it's actually fewer than we've seen in a long time.
That's really
cool. Like you said, those numbers go down, and what goes up are some of the Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim mm-hmm. nuns or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them. So lots of, if you're looking at religious diversity, if you're talking about how this Congress is different than previous ones, this is, I don't think this won't get the attention because it's all about Democrats getting
right.
their seats and the new House and right. all that good stuff. This doesn't get as much attention, the religious demographics. And you brought this up earlier, and I want to mention this. Does any of this matter? No, it is symbolic to
sure.
me. I mean, I think there is value, though, in saying, hey, there's an atheist in Congress. That's mm-hmm. nice to be able to say because it does help destigmatize
right.
that label. That is what this is useful for. And unfortunately, Dottie knows it. Unfortunately, there's no one you could even point to and say, yeah, atheists can get elected in America. Here's an example of it.
Right.
Technically, you can't even say that.
Right. And also, there is always the concept of representation, right? Like,
yeah.
the people representing us should look like the population that we have. Look, and the reality is, the number of atheists in this country are greater than 0. So maybe one would
like
be a good
start.
Like we
said, 1% of the American population is Muslim. And they do have multiple, I mean, they have 2.
They,
three.
Yeah, let's not
they
go
have three.
Nuts.
They have 3 representatives there, but 2 of them are new. They were the 2 women who got sworn in.
So that would be pretty reflective
but
of?
Think of all the coverage, and it's all positive coverage, mm-hmm. and it should be, which is to say, like, look, these women got elected, and they're Muslim, and they took an oath, and they were like, they're proud Americans, and they
right.
support America, whatever. But, like, look at all the coverage that got, because it's saying, yeah, I'm from a Muslim family, mm-hmm. and my family immigrated here a generation ago or whatever,
right.
and now I'm in Congress. Isn't that amazing? Yes, those are amazing stories.
Yeah, somebody was talking about how she came here, like, as a refugee, like,
yes.
24 years ago, I think she said. Like, it's an incredible story,
and
we're
worth awesome.
Celebrating.
And that's cool, because you could even say, look, this person doesn't believe what the majority of the U.S. believes, but they can still get elected because on the basis of whatever you want to point mm-hmm. to. But you can't do that with atheists right now. That's the part I didn't
yeah.
like. And I should point out two things on that. One is there are a ton of religious representatives in the House and the Senate
mm-hmm.
who I love, politically speaking. They're religious. Who cares?
Right.
Because I like their policies.
Yes.
I like their politics. So I don't care that they're religious or not. If they support separation of church and state, call yourself whatever you want.
100%. And
right?
I'm glad you said that, because I don't think that can be said enough. Of like, yeah, it'd be good. Because people, I feel like
I'm not voting for an atheist automatically.
Exactly. Like, I think a question we get really frequently, and I get this as a woman as well, is like, are you voting for this person just because they are X, an atheist, a woman, whatever? And absolutely not. But the reality is, it's better for all of us when our representation is more diverse, and it's better for atheists, especially young atheists, to have somebody as a role model. So you can say, like, listen, yes, I don't believe in God, but, like, neither does President
right.
Hemant Mehta.
Yeah, that ain't gonna
2028.
Happen.
Is that an election year?
I'll probably be dead by then. I don't know. It's a while away.
What are you doing?
But there is, what you can do is look to the state level, where there are a dozen state representatives uh-huh. who are open atheists and
right.
are elected, and they're not there to legislate atheism. They're there to do good work.
Right.
And that's awesome. So, like, that's what we should be looking for. And by the way, granted, there are no Republicans on the list of the nuns or the cinema. But if someone said, I'm an atheist and I'm running as a Republican, I personally don't think that person would be a good candidate policy-wise, because it's entirely possible on paper to be a Republican atheist who supports...
small government.
Anti-women's rights, anti-abortion rights,
I see.
Anti-LGBTQ rights. They're not supporters of church-state separation, or they don't think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen those people talk about this stuff.
Oh, like, yeah,
there are plenty of the conservative... side, the people who are not part of the religious right, a lot of them are not explicitly religious, but they also don't think the things we talk about are necessarily big deals.
Right.
I don't want to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even if you say, I am an atheist, I don't know that it would be something to celebrate if I could say, hey, there's one atheist in Congress, and it's, like, one of the Republicans who's there. Like, I don't know that I wouldn't be celebrating
that. The shine would kind of come off the apple there.
And we'd have a different conversation about what that means in terms of representation and the symbolism of it all. So, anyway, I think that's all the stuff I wanted to say about the Congress.
I have more stuff.
Please.
First of all, I mostly want to spend the rest of the episode talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's dancing video, because it literally is, like, I can't think of a thing that's made me happier in a long time. So,
tell us about the video.
Yeah, so somebody with a really dumb fucking Twitter handle that...
It's like QAnonymous.
QAnonymous 42069 or whatever.
Yeah. Which has since been deleted, by the way.
Has the whole
account
been?
Is gone.
So whomever this is found a video of AOC when she was in college, and
AOC is, of course, like this
super progressive
new Democrat, youngest person in Congress, I think, right now.
So she's 29. She's younger than me, which is really...
What have you done with your life?
Literally, this dumb podcast is all I've done. What the fuck?
That hurts. That hurts.
Anyway, so she... she, like, did a video with some, presumably, I don't really know the context, some friends.
I think it was Breakfast Club.
Yeah, they recreated, but I don't know what it was for.
Yeah.
So they recreated the famous
maybe, or a high school
dance
skit.
Scene.
Yeah.
And she, like, comes out and is dancing and spinning. And, like, first of all, is, like, fucking
glowing. That's it. That's the whole video.
She has this, like, beautiful dewy skin, and her hair is, like looks great.
She's just having the time of her life dancing for a minute.
So this, and so if you, I watched the whole video because I have nothing much going on in my life.
47 seconds or something.
No. The whole original video.
Oh, there's a whole
video.
Original one?
There's a whole original video that's literally, like, the whole Breakfast Club thing. And there's probably 10 other people in it, and they're all dancing and having fun.
Yes.
So this person... Not only he found this video, pulled the 40 seconds of her dancing, put different music behind it for some reason, and then tweeted out. Are you looking up what the wording of the tweet was? Because it's really fucking important. First of all, he like puts her on blast because apparently she went by Sandy in college and like whatever.
Do you know how many names I have had over the years?
What do people what's a nickname for him?
I'm not even telling you because I don't want people to start using the old stuff.
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, at Starbucks, I'm Bob. I've told you that.
Yeah, I think you've told
like,
me that on the air.
Other mispronunciations and stuff, it's sometimes easier. Like, look, just call me
Carl.
I can see Alexandria to Sandy. I can see the connection there.
Yeah, and also, who gives a fuck?
Also, exactly, who cares?
Like,
they also made fun, like, oh, look, this is the dance she did at her elitist high school, even though she says she's from the Bronx. Even though she said, yeah, I'm from the Bronx, and I went to a nice school because my parents wanted me to
also,
go to a better school.
He got all of the facts wrong, because it says she was in high school, she was in college. It completely pulled it out of... Not that it matters. It was fucking charming either way. And then he was like, here's your... Commie nitwit. Do you have it pulled up?
I'm looking.
It's like commie nitwit, quote, Sandy Ocasio-Cortez looking like the, I don't know, I think.
Amused me is I saw like conservative outlets like, dude, what the hell are you making fun of her for? This is not, I mean, from their perspective, they're like, go after her policies. We don't like her policies.
To be fair.
Don't go after the dancing.
To be fair, this thing has brought me a lot of joy. Yeah. And so that's why I'm spending as much time on it as I can. From what I can tell, this one idiot posted it. And I don't think got an ounce of traction in what he thought he was going to get.
It
you know what I mean?
Completely.
Everybody was like, so she was cute and charming? Or like, she had friends? Are you jealous? Like, what are you fucking doing? So it's, I wish it was more of a story. Like, I wish Fox News had jumped on it, because that would have brought me a lot of, like, a lot of joy to watch them lose their mind over, like, a young woman having fun.
She did post an update where she was dancing outside her Congress
office. She sure fucking did have it. She was dancing to war, and guess what? Still charming as fuck.
Yeah.
So that happened. I want to talk about that a lot. Also, in other AOC news, just one more thing.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I really like her a lot. I haven't been as, like, obsessed with her as everyone has, but the last 2 days, like, I've really come around. Like, not that I ever thought poorly, but I'm like, yeah, I like this chick.
There's so little in Congress that you could point to and say, this brings me joy.
I mean,
the
other thing that brought me joy is that Lauren Underwood, who is somebody I canvassed for, mm-hmm. when she was sworn in, she wore this, like, beautiful pink, like, skirt suit, and it looks exactly like the thing that Liz Lemon wore in the first episode of 30 Rock. Anybody who knows that reference can picture it immediately, and I saw it. I was like, she's thanking me by paying tribute to one of my favorite shows. Oh, my God, Lauren, thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, so yesterday, they, being Congress, also voted Nancy Pelosi in as the new right. Speaker of the House. And guess who got booed when she voted?
You mean the only one out of like 200-some uh-huh. people who got booed?
She got fucking booed. So it was AOC. I hoped everybody got that punchline already. Like, everybody, they call your name and you say who you're voting for, and it is what it is. And she was sitting there with, like, Lauren Underwood's in her posse. No big deal. I'm, like, basically a member of Congress
now. I like how you're
now.
Using that to say you're now friends with AOC.
Well, I'm now friends with Lauren Underwood. She definitely remembers me.
I'm sure she does.
I keep tweeting at her. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's, like, sitting with this, like, group of women, and they're all, like, having fun and supporting each other. And it's, like, so the antithesis of this boys' club that we've seen our entire lives. And she votes for Nancy Pelosi, and she gets booed, and she just, like, starts snickering and, like, looking at her friends, like, what the fuck? And then she tweeted, over 200 members voted for Nancy Pelosi today, yet the GOP only booed one, me. Don't hate me because you ain't me, fellas. God, she's the fucking best!
They have
I
no
love
idea
this.
What that means, all those other members of Congress.
It's just so good. Anyway, that's all I have on her. I do have one more thing vis-a-vis Congress.
Yeah.
Rashida Tlaib. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Tlaib?
Yeah.
I don't think I did. Anyway, yesterday, right after she got sworn in, she was at another event, so she wasn't, like, in the House. But she was talking about Trump, and she said, we're going to impeach the motherfucker, which was, like, like, if I was jazzed about AOC dancing, this set me on fire.
She's one of the new Muslim, I believe, representatives in the House. And she
sure
went to an after
is.
Party thrown by a website. I forgot which one. And that's where she made these comments. And, of course, people flipped their shit.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because Trump swears all the time they never care. He grabs women by the pussy. They didn't care about that.
Well, but
he
it's
called
a
them
woman,
shithole
so
countries. They didn't care about that. But they are going to, like, tell her how dare. And even some Democrats are
At first, I thought, the way it was framed, it sounded like she said that, like, on the floor of Congress. And I was like, whoa, that's fucking bold. But it was at an after party, like, chill.
Right.
People got mad, so she released a following statement. Congresswoman Tlaib was elected to shake up Washington, not continue the status quo. Donald Trump is completely unfit to serve as president. The congresswoman absolutely believes he needs to be impeached. She ran and won, making this very clear to the voters in her district. Trump's actions have harmed the 15th congressional district and this country, and Tlaib will not stay silent while this happens, which is fucking dope. Like, she didn't apologize. She didn't say, I could have used
better
words.
By the way, because
words.
She did that, people were talking about impeachment all day today.
Uh-huh.
And again, if you're, like, tutting her or whatever the old people do, like, how dare you use that language? Again, they don't care when their own side does it.
Here's the
They're
thing.
Just mad that she was, like, happy.
Well, and
this again, they won't impeach unless they have something to do it on.
Right. Like, nothing is happening because she's...
Yeah.
Also, this kind of harkens back to a thing that we touch on a lot on this show of the Christian right's obsession with appearances over substance, because what Trump has done is objectively bad.
I saw tweets, a lot of them, that are like, you're mad at this woman for saying motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's put kids in cages. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this quotation from Tony Campolo, the Christian preacher, who said something like, I'm going to butcher it, of course. I'm going to find it first. You talk.
Well, okay.
I want to make sure I get this right.
So anyway, it just comes down to that. They care so much more about what you look like and what your sort of outward appearance is.
Yeah.
And use anything as an excuse to excuse their poor actions. I have Trump's quote.
Here's the quotation from Campolo, who's a Christian preacher. His son is Bart Campolo, who's been on this podcast, who's now an atheist. But Tony Campolo once said, "I have three things I'd like to say today to a church audience. First, while you were sleeping last night, 30,000 kids died of starvation or diseases related to malnutrition. Second, most of you don't give a shit. Third, what's worse than that is you're more upset with the fact I said shit than the fact that 30,000 kids died last night."
Yeah, that's the idea. That's a great summation.
Don't
I'm actually glad you looked that up. You could have really butchered that
phrase.
You
know I would have.
Trump responded with his usual grace. "I thought her comments were disgraceful." this is a person. This is a person.
Lessons on grace from Donald Trump.
This is a person that I don't know. I assume she's new. I think she dishonored herself, and I think she dishonored her family. Using language like that in front of her son.
There's no way this is Trump.
Yeah. Using language like that in front of her son and whoever else was there, I thought it was a great dishonor to her and her family. I thought it was highly disrespectful to the United States of America.
Thank you, President Pussy Grabber.
All right.
Let's talk about... this is a short one, I swear.
Wait, are we going to leave politics? I have one more poll.
We're going to leave politics.
Okay,
go ahead.
Can I do my politics thing?
Please.
So Elizabeth Warren is unlikable now? Since fucking when?
Since she said she's running for president. That makes her unlikable.
Oh, my God. This is such...
My favorite thing about Elizabeth Warren saying she's going to run is there was a... I forgot who tweeted this, but he's like, there were people when Hillary Clinton was running who said Elizabeth Warren is the one who should be running.
Yeah, she's the likable one.
Yeah,
like
she's
somebody,
the one
I
who knows
I was trying
what
to find
about.
The tweet
Those
when I was...
Those same people are like, ugh, Pocahontas is running.
I was trying to find the tweet when I was doing research for this, granted, I had like 10 minutes between work and this, but I remember somebody found a tweet from 2016 and from this week. One was like, "We should be running a Biden-Warren ticket. That's a much more likable ticket." And then like now it's like, Elizabeth Warren, she's so unlikable.
Right.
And if you think I'm like... Consider this. If you look at approval ratings of Hillary Clinton over her lifetime, over the time, or over her adult life, the only time, the times when she was polling the worst, when she was quote unquote most dislikable, was the time she was running for office, was the time she was trying
to
assert
her
power.
Secretary of State.
Great.
Great.
But as soon as you try to reach for something,
right.
as soon as she ran for Senate, ran for president, that was when she was dislikable. So maybe, just maybe, let's look at ourselves in the fucking mirror and say that we find women who seek power dislikable, or if they're AOC, who is fucking the most likable person in the planet, we can't take her seriously because she danced when she was 20. Like, fuck off with this.
This is why I didn't dance when I was 20.
You don't dance now.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's at your wedding. Did you dance at your wedding?
Hell no. I'm likable, damn it.
And you want to stay likable? That's why you don't dance?
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Everybody would feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And of all the progressives who are going to say they're going to run, like, all right, I'm fine with Warren. She's as good as any other candidate that I'm fine with running. Like, they're all good. I hope that some of these candidates, because every candidate always has a faith outreach person, like, be my liaison to the faith community.
Are you saying they're going to reach out to us?
No, not us specifically. But I hope some of these candidates, like, do something to say, hey, there is a large base of not just progressive Christians, because they're politically active.
Right.
And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But also, like, a huge swath of non-religious people who don't have little tribes like churches who still should be reached and can be reached. Because as far as voting goes, we don't vote our weight in terms of our representation. Like, whatever, we're 23% of that. We are not 23% of the voting population.
Right.
And so there is outreach that can be done, especially with us, since we're more likely to agree with your policies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
These candidates need to have someone reach out to non-religious communities explicitly.
Yeah, we are definitely a very untapped market.
Seriously.
And generally vote as a monolith. Like, yes, being an atheist does not mean you're liberal.
Right, right. But 70 to 80% of people who are non-religious
it's
are voting for the Democrat.
It's a pretty safe bet.
So, yeah. You should. I mean, I hope, Warren, should I don't know any of these people are doing any of that.
Should we start a super PAC?
I'm sure it's easy.
Do you have like $18 million?
Yeah, let me check my wallet.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to this one because it's silly and we're going to be, I don't want to spend forever time on it, but it did make me laugh. This is a tweet that was put out by John Piper, the Calvinist preacher who is just hardcore, intense conservative.
Sorry, which one's Calvinist?
It's one of the ones. Here's what
is
the tweet says.
Is that the one where
says.
Absolute Zero is, or is it a Calvin joke?
Stop it.
It was like, listen, out of all of our listeners, two people laughed, and that's worth it to me.
Took me a second to realize it's Kelvin. Yeah. Here's the tweet.
Is Absolute Zero a thing in Kelvin scale?
I have no... It's been a long
You're
time.
You're a math teacher!
I've been out of the...
Okay, go ahead.
...picture. Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible.
Oh.
Speak the Bible.
Okay.
Submit to the Bible.
Okay.
Love the Bible. Marry the Bible
that's
this year.
That's a cult, my dude. That is what cults look like.
Put a hole in the Bible. I love how these guys are like, every time these same people talk about same-sex marriage, they go out of their way to put marriage in quotation marks because it's not real marriage. But here they're like, obviously symbolically, like, marry the Bible this year. None of that nuance. They're just like, yes, elope with it, caress it. Huddle with it.
Wait, could you? I'm sorry, because because Poe's Law is so real. Can you read the actual quote again and not the garbage that you inserted? God damn it! Not read, inserted.
Read. Read the Bible. Uh-huh. Memorize the Bible. Yeah. Speak the Bible. Uh-huh. Submit to the Bible. Love the Bible. Marry the Bible this year.
Yeah, no, that is straight up cult garbage.
Yeah.
Hoofa doofa.
Man.
Wowza.
So, good times. Okay, here's a happier... No, it's not happier. Here's other news.
It's not happy, it's just different.
It's just Mormon. The Mormon Church has now announced that if you're a female missionary...
I heard this. You can wear pants
instead of skirts.
That's
like
very
long
nice.
ankle covering, don't be a hussy skirts. Mm-hmm. You can now wear pants, which... All right, that's progress in Mormon world, I guess. But there are so many rules concerning these. And by the way, you know who made this decision? If you look at the picture, it's the first presidency of the Mormon Church, which is like the three oldest white guys they could find mm-hmm. who run the church. That's who approved the decision.
It's called the first presidency?
It's called the first presidency.
Okay.
It's the three dudes. And here's specifically the rules that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced. Mm-hmm. Do not wear dress slacks that are too tight, that are cropped above the ankle.
Sure.
So like no capris. Don't touch the floor. They should fit well, not too tight or too loose, and be in solid conservative colors. Dress slacks and skirts should not be transparent.
Well, that's just good advice.
I didn't realize they were trans. Okay. Revealing. Mm. Casual, wrinkled, sloppy, or faddish. Do not wear floor...
Sorry.
Faddish.
F-A-D?
Correct.
Okay.
Do not wear floor-length skirts, pantsuits, or baggy or skinny-style slacks. Basically, all you're allowed to wear are, like, black...
Like Dockers.
...pants. I'll assume I know what you mean. Black pants that... I mean, your body just better fit in them normally, and if you're curvy, don't. Like, if your body is too tight inside the pants, whatever the pants are, like, I am not a fashion, woman's fashion especially, believe it or not, but like...
You're not a woman's
not
fashion?
Not every body is going to fit perfectly into any pants, and like, some people are going to be revealing no matter what they do.
Well, okay, pants...
Isn't it like a cleavage thing, too? I'm done with this conversation.
Are different... Because, like, pants definitely have more variety, so you can get, like, a waist and an inseam fitted. So,
if you
like,
get it tailored, probably. Like,
no, I mean,
maybe
you can just go buy pants that are, like,
okay.
a certain length. And it, like, shirt. The thing with shirts is that, like, a shirt I wear and a shirt my best friend Leslie wears, who maybe weighs 100 pounds, like, we could wear the exact same shirt, and my tits would be popping out of it. And that's not the shirt. That's just how bodies happen.
Right.
Pants are a little less, it's a little more, it's a little easier to be uniform. I think my problem is always the subjectivity of these things, because as a person who's worked at places where I had to wear a uniform, if something's neat or not tight enough or whatever. Like, that is the opinion of the grossest dude near you. And if he thinks that shit is too tight. And, like, women's dress pants are kind of slimmy. Like, they're cut tight. They don't have back pockets, so they're, like...
Who decides if they're too revealing
old
or too
white
tight?
Men. Yeah. Always, always, always. Uh-huh. I don't know what... I guess they're thinking just low-cut pants, which I heard low-rise jeans are coming back. Fucking hashtag never again. Never again will I wear low-rise pants. I cannot. I can't, and I won't. And I can't.
Conversation I'm not a part of.
The thing that I think is tricky is it can't be above the ankle and it can't touch the floor.
Yeah.
That is fucking...
That's a very narrow...
That's some ninja tailoring you're going to have to do, my dude.
And by the way, I wish I could tell you that the reason they did this is because women were pushing for a little more options. Uh-huh. No. The reason they did this is because some of their missionaries are in countries where there's a shit ton of mosquitoes and it gets cold. So they were offering, and the skirts don't help with the cold. And so they were like, all right, you can do pants. And I guess we got to just do that across the board.
I'm basically just, like, when I was working the convention for work in October, I'm just thinking of, like, what I wore. And they were just very generic, straight leg. Like, the kind of thing, like, I hope you're not noticing what I'm wearing. These are basically camouflage in pant form. You're not going to look at my lower half because it's just, like, draped in straight black material that touches nothing and reveals nothing. But, like, yeah, I mean, they're just saying don't wear, like, leggings as jeans, basically, is what they're saying. Anyway, it's stupid. I mean, so, cool, I
congrats
guess.
Congrats on progress, question mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nothing, right?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Jerry Falwell, Jr. of Liberty University, did an interview with Joe Helm of the Washington Post. And here's the question that seemed to get everybody's attention. Here's the question. Is there anything President Trump could do that would endanger that support from you or other evangelical leaders? And Falwell's answer? No. Literally, that's it. And Helm responds, that's the shortest answer we've had so far. And Falwell goes on to say, only because I know that he only wants what's best for this country. And I know anything he does, it may not be ideologically, quote, conservative, but it's going to be what's best for this country and Russia. And I can't imagine him doing anything that's not good for this country.
That is fucking...
Which tells you a lot about the limits of his imagination.
That is... beyond the pale, though.
Like Jesus walking on water, I'm with you. Trump doing anything bad? No, impossible.
Yeah, that's wild. Because,
like, I can answer that question before the sun's up on Twitter.
Right, but I mean,
tell you what he's done that's,
like,
bad.
What if Trump came out and said, like, Christianity is bullshit. You're an idiot if you believe this shit.
Well, like, we didn't elect him to be pastor. Like, that's these people's mindset. Because, again, it is functioning like a cult.
How
judges.
Did Trump do this?
Judges. That's it. He gives them anti-abortion judges, and he knows they are dumb enough to just say, that's all we want. Mm. You could do anything you want. You will have our support.
I don't think that's dumb. I think that's
it.
I think that's just nefarious.
Yeah.
It's single-minded.
Yeah, and he knows that he can get away with ignoring Jesus or the message these people preach at church as long as he placates them with this one thing that they are faith-bound to be obsessed with. It's like, well, then they won't stop me from doing anything, literally, apparently, anything else, because whatever, they're they're placated by that. Just give them judges. That's all they want.
That's fucking rough.
And that's literally, say this too.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who are one-issue voters. I mean, there are plenty of progressives who are like, no, climate change is important, and plenty who are like, get money, is Citizens United overturned? But, like, at no point, even with the wall, the stupid wall, even Democrats are like, we'll give you the wall money if you pass the DACA bill.
Right.
And Trump said no, and now it's a different issue. But even they were like, fine, we'll give you your stupid thing, but give us this thing we want.
Right.
But with these conservative Christians, it's like, are you anti-abortion? If you say, and even Trump is like, yeah, we should punish women. Remember during the campaign?
Yeah, I remember.
And they were like, oh, wrong answer, but he's still
on the right track.
Then he went back and said, sorry, I meant to say, I hate abortion. No abortions for anyone. And they're like, oh, all right, you have our support.
Dick.
Falwell also said something. I want to make sure I get this right. He was talking about the poor And they were saying, like, you know, Trump has done all these things. He's advocated violence. He's committed adultery. He lies often. I mean, should that person really be leading the country from a Christian perspective? Uh-huh. Isn't that disqualifying? And in this long, rambly answer, one of the things Falwell said is, why have Americans been able to do more to help people in need around the world than any other country in history? It's because of free enterprise, freedom, ingenuity, entrepreneurism, and wealth. A poor person never gave anyone a job. A poor person never gave anybody charity. Not of any real volume. It's just common sense to me. Which, by the way, if you look in the Bible, there is a parable Jesus tells of a poor woman who donates a couple of coins to, I forgot where rich people are also giving money to the same place. And Jesus calls out that woman who gives a couple coins and says, hey, disciples, that woman has given more than all those rich people because she didn't have a lot to begin with, and yet she still gave, like, proportionally, by a percentage. That's more,
holy
like, that's
shit.
The power of the poor, right? The rich shall inherit, the meek shall inherit the earth. The poor people are the ones that Jesus always talks about.
Yeah, right? And also the thing about, like,
the poor people's campaign is the progressive left thing.
A camel can easier fit through the eye of a needle than a rich man get into heaven.
Right. Nicely done. That's it. And again, the Bible.
Can I tell you why I know that?
Why?
Because it was an SNL sketch.
Nice. Again, all the stuff about the poor, and what does Falwell say? Psh, poor people never gave anyone a job. Poor people never gave anybody charity.
Fuck.
There are plenty of poor people who give to charity, and they give in other ways.
Ugh. Evil. These people
Seriously.
Are fucking evil.
So that's like
really
the guy who's leading the charge for conservative Christians who are Trump backers. Like nothing they say
Jesus
can ever
Christ, that's
bother them.
So bad.
Oh, I got one last one for you. If you want to talk about this? Is totally tangential to everything else we've been talking about. More than a decade ago, I heard about this thing. There is a wealthy Jewish man named Larry Bloomberg, and he lives in Alabama. And there's not a lot of Jews in Alabama, certainly not in his very Christian town of Dothan. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. So he came up with a plan. He's like, I got money. I will donate $1 million to make this happen. And what he said is, I want 20 Jewish families to relocate to my city. And for every Jewish family, if you promise to get involved with the local temple, the synagogue, if you stay at least 5 years, I will give you up to $50,000 to help you with moving, housing, loans, money for a small business, private school education for your kids. Like, I'll give you up to $50,000 if your family relocates here. And I thought that at, like, 2008 or whatever, interesting, all right, rich people and their money, all right, that's a thing to do,
that
I guess.
That feels a little icky to me.
Also, I'll pay you to be Jewish in Alabama. Like, all right.
I mean, I just feel like that feels a little like, God, if a white person did, which I hate to say that, but like if you live in like, even if you live in a Jewish community and you're like, I would pay 20 Muslim people to move in here. Like, oh, that feels
yeah. There's something weird about it. Let's assume, you know, he meant well. He just said, I want more Jewish people in the area, and then maybe they need an incentive because
sure,
they
guess.
Probably wouldn't move here. Okay, so it's been a decade, and Julie Zausmer of the Washington Post actually caught up with some of the families that moved there, because some of them moved
and
there.
And they're like, we love hot weather and giant bugs. This is great. This is my home.
Well, what was the exact number? She said 11 families ended up moving there since he started paying them. He said he will pay for at least 6 more, and he's lowered it to now 3 years, not 5. But basically, as she wrote, almost a decade into the experiment, 7 of the 11 families have left. And she was writing about a couple that was there and was thinking about leaving. Basically, they were saying, like, well, why do you think they were like, yeah, we don't, it's not worth it? Why do you think that was the conclusion they came to?
So my initial thought is you're really hitching your wagon to this dude having a community for you. Like if you're moving somewhere because of the community and this guy like drops the ball, that's not great. Also, I can't imagine, I feel like for me moving into, and I've lived in very, very conservative areas and the culture shock was something. Also, if they have kids, maybe, I don't think Alabama schools are especially great. Maybe people are.
Depends where you're at. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's an unfair generalization. general anti-Semitism?
That is one of the things. The couple that Zelsmer actually talked to that was considering leaving, and by the end of the piece, they're like, yeah, we're leaving. She said one Alabamian shocked Kenny by stating her belief that Jews make hamburgers with baby's blood.
Fuck me. Yeah.
Another who had hired Kenny as a home healthcare aide asked him recently where he went to church, and when he told her that he was Jewish, he got a call from the agency that night saying the patient no longer considered Kenny a good fit to care for her. So anti-Semitism was a big part of it. A lot of them said, yeah, we're close to the other Jewish people, including the ones who moved here. They praised the temple and the community in the synagogue and all that.
10 families does not a community make.
Yeah, they basically said, we are still minorities in this overwhelmingly Christian town, no matter how many of these families move here.
Not just overwhelmingly Christian, but aggressively Christian.
Aggressively Christian town. And that made it not worth it. So that's why they ended up leaving.
You know, that's really disappointing. And I hope I didn't come off as an asshole, like, disparaging Alabama as a state. Like, it is what it is. But, like, I know the specific challenges that go into moving to a very conservative area. And I was only there for, like, a brief amount of time by myself. And, like, it's a challenge. It is a challenge to be around people who do not share any of your values and/or are openly hostile to you. It's really, really, really difficult.
Especially
if you're trying to make a life.
Yeah, I really do wonder how much money would have been worthwhile to make that experiment work. Because $50,000, I mean, it's a year's salary. But it's like, okay, it's like a year's salary to move there for your life, more or less.
Right.
Maybe that's not worth it, especially, like you said, if you have kids and you're trying to get something going and have a career.
Right.
How much would have been enough? I don't know the answer to that. But
I mean, I think it would take a whole lot for me to, because, like, cards on the table, I felt like moving out to the suburbs, I felt like I moved to a pretty conservative place in comparison to where I lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, it is still a bit of a culture shock when I'm, interacting with the world, and, like, I'm used to being one of many liberal people, and that is not only, like, I was at the dog park over the summer, and I was wearing an ACLU shirt, and this woman, like, came out to me, she's like, I love your shirt. I just moved here, and I feel really worried about it.
I've heard that from atheists in conservative towns, too, that if they wear their atheist stuff, there is a chance people are going to, there's backlash.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you're going to get those whispers and those little, like, winks. And, like,
right. And that's not to say,
like
we live in
at the Thanksgiving table who opens the eyes during prayer.
Right.
It's like, you'll catch someone else's eye.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And that's not to say that, like, Naperville or Aurora are, like, super conservative, but it's a pretty Catholic area. It's just rich white people and rich white people values, which tend to lean conservative.
I wonder if other cities in other states that are also conservative, like, might have been better off. I don't know if it was the Alabama thing
town. I would imagine, like, Birmingham would be more liberal than, like, rural Alabama.
Right.
Alabama is a word I tried to say, right?
And by the way, as far as I know, the guy with the money did not help them move out.
Oh, you don't say.
It was ultimately, like, maybe a waste of their money, or they lost money on the whole experiment, but they were willing to give it a shot. They had to know what the risks were going into it. They must have known, like, well, it's probably not going to be easy. But if we are
tied down, that is such a rich person thing to do, is like, I like this community, but I want more people like me. You there, peasants.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Yeah. So, anyway, interesting.
I'm not crazy about that. That story makes me feel, it sits very awkwardly with me.
I mean, it did 10 years ago, too. Like, when he announced it, that was the reaction to all the things you're saying. And what surprised me, and I didn't know this until reading Zelsmer's article, is that, wow, all these people actually picked up their lives and they moved there. And, yeah, they're moving out, a bunch of them. But, like, wow, this many people said, we're taking that risk because whatever the reason was.
Yeah. And I think the lesson is that community is very, very important, and there isn't much substitute for it. Like, this man was willing to put up his money to form a community, and
he tried,
and people were willing to take money, but even them, which arguably it's not enough to warrant moving to, especially, God, when you consider, like, if you have kids, the fact that I live near family makes childcare issues less. No, I don't have a child, I need to be clear. But so yeah, like $50,000 is not incentive enough. But be that as it may, even that money was not enough to substitute
How much money would it be? How much money would it take for you to move there?
For me personally?
Yeah.
I would say maybe $100,000 per year.
Uh-huh.
So assuming I would not be able to find work right away. Mm-hmm. That's assuming all the costs that go with moving and finding a new place and figuring out your new shit. And again, the stuff that you take for granted when you have family that lives nearby. Like, God, you've been living like... How much do you depend on your family for, like, watching your fucking kids? How much is that worth to you?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't move for that amount. And it's not that I don't want the money or don't need the money, but, like, yeah, I probably wouldn't move for that amount.
Yeah, but I mean, even,
it would,
like,
take a lot more because I'd be giving up so much more.
Giving up, like, just straight up financially speaking, the cost of moving, plus the assuming you're going to be going home for holidays every year, that's a few grand every year, two or three times a year if you want to see your family. Like, it's manageable, but it's not nothing. And I wouldn't want to just break even on that deal. I would want to say, like, I want my, not my cost, my, my,
cost
my,
of living?
Not cost of living, but like my status of living, my
quality of life
would be better. Like, I would hope if somebody's paying me to move there, I hope like I'd have like a piece of property that I could let my dog run around. You know what I mean? Like,
pay
I don't know.
For me to have a friend.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that would be the worst for you because you would probably pay $100,000 a year not to have to talk to anybody.
That is true. I mean, I'd want more money than to bring the friend here so I have them, but like, give me more money so I don't have to talk to them.
Yeah.
Just keep paying me.
You can just.
Speaking of which, go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
You too can get me to that goal of $100,000 a year.
Then we will send Jessica to Alabama.
I've driven through Alabama on my way to Florida during spring break like a real white trash Indiana person.
Oh, I once did a little road trip to Talladega from the airport.
Why Talladega? Oh, from the airport.
It was good.
Was it for a
It was for an atheist thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
So
we'll see you next week.
No,
oh, you got more?
No. They're not stories, but they're just things I forgot to say and want to say. One. I am going to be in LA this coming week. So on the 8th, if you live in LA, and are a reasonable distance to Highland Park, I'm going to be at ETA on Tuesday, the 8th at 6:30 PM. I've heard from a few, it sounds like at least two people are going to be there, maybe three. So that's pretty exciting for me. A couple of people have asked how they find me. I don't know. I've never been to that place. Email me, I guess, or tweet at me if you have such things. Also, in October, I did a talk for the Houston Oasis. And I did a whole talk about feminism and all of that stuff. It's up on YouTube now, so if you go to the Houston Oasis, I tweeted it, or if you go to the Houston Oasis YouTube channel, you can watch it. It's about 35 minutes.
I watched it. It was good.
I just want everybody to know the surprise in this place. It's funny. I shared it with a couple people, and like two people were like, I watched it. And I was like, why? I just wanted you to know it existed.
My favorite parts are during the Q&A when you make faces like on The Office where you stare into the camera like, why did this person mention this?
My friend did try to meme me. So the first question was from a guy, and it wasn't really a question. It was a question eventually, but it started with like lecturing me about Bernie Sanders for... 90 seconds solid. And here's the thing is most of my communication with the outside world is via this podcast. So nobody but Hammett can see the faces I make when I hear things that displease me.
I also see the middle finger.
What?
At me.
Oh, at
all
you.
The time.
Oh, almost always.
Yes.
I thought you meant during my talk.
No.
And I was like,
no.
I would not do that. I probably would.
They were fine. Like, the audience was fine. The questions were fine. But at times when the subject matter got interesting in that way, I could see the look on your face like the seething.
Yeah,
where you're like, I'll be polite and answer this.
Yeah. My friend memed it. Is that a thing kids do?
No.
Anyway, I'll share that because it was my friend Anne initially was like, There's a moment where you make an amazing face, and I went back and looked, and I fucking look right down the barrel of the camera like I am on the goddamn Office. Like, it is, I don't remember doing it, but it was just a moment of like, yeah, all right, okay. Anyway, like, and that's shitty of me. It was a fine question. It was just a lecture before we got to the question part. And it was like, I don't want to hear anybody lecture me about Bernie Sanders anymore. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just miss me. Just miss me with it. Thanks for attending to that, people in Houston. I didn't mean to talk shit. Hemant, what's a good thing happening to you this week?
Go first.
I'm going to LA. I have at least 4, maybe more interviews lined up that I'm like,
I'm looking forward to hearing these after the fact.
Joked as hell about. I don't want to say any of them in case any of them fall through, but I will say that I'm going to be talking to Ross Blatcher. He's a luck. He's a very dependable guy.
Of Ono Ross and Carrie,
who I of one of my favorite podcasts. So I'm just like,
good
really,
luck. I hope the interviews come through.
Me too. I'm nervous about bringing this recording equipment through.
Have fun at TSA, but you're not brown.
No,
nope,
white
fine.
Person. I'm very non-threatening. Do you have anything you'd like to talk about?
It was a good week. It was fine. It was relaxing. It's just family time this week.
Yeah.
Not much going on.
We're still
it's
in a
good.
Sort of downturn. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Blueberry, BLUEBURIE. You can follow
Hemant Mehta
at his name, like a genius. He just made his name his Twitter handle. What a fucking genius. I was like, I have a cute nickname. My best friend calls me. I make a handle. Fucking idiot, Jessica.
We'll end on that note. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.